If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Sat down the other day and I think I came up with over 14 messages from Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to preach them all this morning. Amen? So I hope you brought your lunch. I tell you what, I've never enjoyed the Word of God as much as right now. Amen? And one of the favorite things I loved about Pastor Hunt as I was his assistant for a number of years was I loved going into his office and I loved hearing him just exclaim about something the Lord had showed him from the Word of God. And he would say, "Hey, Doug, check this out, check this out." And one of the things I love about Paul Schwanke is every time Paul and I get together, he's always asked me, what have you been reading in the Word of God? What have you got? What has God shown you? And boy, that's the way we ought to be one with another. Amen? Well, yeah, it is. All right? And encouraging one another and sharing one with another and edifying one another. But Joshua chapter 6 this morning, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 7. And I would just tell you this. Put your seatbelts on. Amen? I don't mean your seatbelts in your car. I mean the seatbelts of your plane. Amen? I love, you know, people fear flying. I enjoy it. I love it. And I love when the pilot says, or the stewards, whoever says, fasten your seatbelt. And I just look forward to that. And I don't get afraid of flying. I just love when they say, fasten your seatbelt. Because that means you're about to take off. Amen? Okay, anyways, Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 1, all right? I remember one time I was flying to California, and this little old lady, well, this mature elderly woman was seated next to me, and she had in her arms this statue of Jesus. I mean, this thing was like this tall. And when the pilot or the stewardess or whoever said, fasten your seatbelt, she buckled her seatbelt and she just grabbed onto that and she's just holding on. And I looked at her and I said, "Ma'am," I says, "you know what? If you got Jesus in your heart, you don't need Jesus in your seat." And I says, "You can open your arms and just smile when he says, buckle up." And anyways, Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city. All ye men of war, go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat." And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Man. "And the people shall ascend every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, Take up the ark of the covenant, let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, I pray your word would just be a great encouragement to us this morning. Lord, as we go through this life and all the challenges and difficulties of this life, Lord, may our faith be lifted up on high this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I told you just a minute ago, I enjoy flying. I love flying. I hate the ocean. I would rather fly in a plane a million times over going out in a boat on the ocean. And I love when the pilot says, buckle up. But there's one flight, if there was one flight I could take over and over and over again, it would be from Lima, Peru to Tingo Maria, Peru. And it's just about an hour and 15 minutes. But I tell you, it is one of the most exciting flights in all the world. You start in Lima, and Lima is the capital city of Peru. And you start in Lima, and you take off from this major airport, and it's a small plane. It's you know, just one of those, you know, like 20, 30, I don't know, passenger planes. And one thing you don't do is show your wife the video of the plane crashing when it comes into Tingo Maria and burning. But anyways, that's another story. But you take off from Lima, and immediately you just go straight up in the air. I mean, so immediately you're just thrust back in your seat, and you start to go up, and you just quickly you leave the city, and all of a sudden you are flying over the Andes Mountains in Peru. And I mean, that in itself is a sight. You go from a city with millions of people to mountains that are just pale gray and pale brown with nothing on them. All you see is just mountains, no vegetation, no trees, no nothing, just rock and just barren ground and peaks of snow. But then as you come over those Andes Mountains, all of a sudden everything turns green. And it's the jungles of Peru. And you have now flown from the city of Lima over the Andes Mountains, and now you're flying over the jungle region of Peru. And it's just the darkest and deepest green that you will ever see. And then all of a sudden, that plane starts to dip down. And all of a sudden, you've been flying over everything, and all of a sudden that plane comes down, and boy, I tell you what, it's an experience. Because all of a sudden, you're coming down into the Amazon jungle, and all of a sudden you're coming down between two just mountains into this valley, and you're flying up this, like this ravine with just trees going up here and trees going up here. And you fly, and you come down, and you're following this river. And all of a sudden, you get real low, and you come alongside of this river, and you fly over this field, and you fly onto a grass airstrip, and you just land. But it is one of the most exciting flights that I've ever been on, and I would fly that flight over and over again. I would take that flight over going to any fair, any thrill ride in the United States. But you know, as I've studied Joshua chapter 6. And as I've spent so much time reading this one chapter, it's been like that flight. It's been like that flight from Lima to Tingo Maria. And it's taken me, listen, a study of Joshua chapter 6 has taken me all these different places in the Bible. I want to share with you, to begin with, some of the places, just studying Joshua 6 and where that has led me. It's led me back to the testimony of Job. You know, many times when you read the testimony of Job, people speak from the beginning, they speak about the trials. But you know, when I read Job, I always come to Job chapter 42 and verse number 2 and verse number 5. And Job said this, I know, speaking of God, I know that thou canst do anything. And then in verse 5, he says this, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Boy, I love that. I love that passage of Scripture. Job says, I know you can do everything, and I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But he says, but now I see you. Now with my eyes, I see you. It's taken me to the Psalms, and I've just poured into the Psalms over and over again and just read the Psalms over and over again as I've studied Joshua. And it's taken me to the Psalms because Psalms is filled with all the problems of life. I mean, you go through Psalms, and boy, I tell you what, you can see every challenge to life there is. But then David says this in Psalm 61 and verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen? David says, my heart's overwhelmed, and there's things that overwhelm me. He says, but please, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It's taken me to the prophet Jeremiah, and you read through the life of Jeremiah. What a great man of God. But what challenges he faced, and he was thrown into prison and thrown into a pit for just speaking the words of God to God's people. And yet God delivered him out of that. And we know Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But my favorite verse in Jeremiah is not Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. My favorite verse is this. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says this. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. The other day I was reading that and I was studying that and I just had to get up. And I got up and I got in my car and I went down to Niantic. I went down to not the boardwalk and not the beach, but the rocks right in between. And I went there at a specific time. I went there at 8:36 in the morning. You say, why 8:36? Because at 8:36 the other morning, precisely 8:36, the tide changed. And I went down those rocks and I stood right there and I said, and I was reading Jeremiah chapter 5, and I went down and stood on those rocks and I watched the waves and I watched them and I said, you know what? It's about to turn. It's about to turn. And at 8:36, the tide changed. And then I looked and I saw on the rocks, there's a line where the water has continually raised to a certain level. And it's come to that certain level. And above that level, those rocks are as white and clean. Because you know what? God says, all the waters of this earth, they can roar, they can rage. He says, but they cannot go beyond the bounds of my decree. And the tide every day, twice a day, the tide changes and shifts, doesn't it? Hey, Joshua chapter 6. Listen, Joshua chapter 6. God wants you to get it so that you can see the tide shift and change in your life. And from the tide coming in and overwhelming you to the point where the tide has to recede and you're sitting in victory. But it's led me to Jeremiah chapter 5. It's led me to John chapter 19, where Jesus Christ is on the cross, and he says these words, it is finished. Amen? The battle for sin and death was finished at the cross, and Jesus Christ said, it is finished. It led me to just reminding myself of the challenges that the Apostle Paul faced, the things that Paul went through in his life as he lived for the Lord and loved the Lord. And he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But Paul faced many challenges. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul looks around and he says, you know what? Everybody forsook me. Everybody left me. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Amen. I tell you what, that's a great verse right there. When you think everybody else is gone, when you think you're all alone, when you think all the problems of the world have got you in a corner, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And that's all we need. Amen? He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. But it's also led me to the book of Revelation. You know, many times we read Joshua chapter 7 or Joshua chapter 6, wherever we are, Joshua chapter 6. Do you know Joshua chapter 6 is a picture of the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to accomplish when he comes to set up his kingdom? There are so many parallels here. You know, in Joshua chapter 8, it says this. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Think about that. When the Israelites, for 6 days, walked around compass that city. There was silence. And there was a reason for it. You know why? They were to be listening for the sound of the trumpet that said the Lord is going to battle and he is going to win the battle. You know, that's a good thing to say amen about. And it says this, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I, get this, I saw seven angels. How many? How many priests are going to be blowing trumpets? Or no, how many priests blew trumpets? Seven priests. I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Wow, I tell you what. You know, in verse number four times, the word seven is used. Verse number five, it says, it shall come to pass. Verse number seven, it says, pass on. Verse number eight, it says, it came to pass. You know where this led me to? Let me do a verse that I know. Thanks be to God, which what? Giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so this morning, I want us to go back to Joshua chapter 6, because there's one phrase, there's one thing about Joshua chapter 6 that I want us to see this morning, and I want to see how understanding this and grabbing a hold of this by faith can change the tide in your life. Can change the tide. Because it might be that right now, it's like the waves are just coming in and crashing on your life. But that's not what God wants. God wants it to be different. You see, in Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 3, it says this. The first thing it says, after the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. First thing it says is, ye shall compass the city. Ye shall compass the city. That's the first thing God says. Listen, if it's the first thing God says about the battle of Jericho, it's something we ought to take note about. Right? It's the first thing. In fact, seven times it says in Joshua chapter 6 about compassing the city. The eighth time compassing the city is mentioned, it's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 30, where it says this, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had compassed the city. I tell you what, there's something to that phrase. There's got to be something to that phrase. If the first thing that the Lord says is ye shall compass the city, if he says it seven times, and there's seven priests blowing seven trumpets, and they're walking around for 7 days, and on the seventh day, they blow the trumpet and give a shout, and God gives a victory. I started thinking, there's got to be something about this phrase. There's got to be something about this phrase. Because seven times God uses it. And the eighth time, he gives testimony about it, how important it was in the victory that they had over Jericho. And ye shall compass the city. Look what it says down in verse number 7. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Verse number 7 basically says, hey, get up, let's go. Get up, let's go. We're going to compass the city. God's going to give us the victory. Amen? Hey, folks, that's how we should be living the Christian life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, he that is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So this morning I want us to look at that phrase and what it means in the context of Scripture. How that phrase, encompassing the city, what it means to you and me, because it's used throughout Scripture. In three different ways it's used. First one's kind of discouraging. It's overwhelming. You know, when the Bible speaks about being encompassed, you see, that was a tactical plan for warfare. to encircle the city, to encircle the people. Look back at verse number 1. Jericho straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. So Jericho, they've run to the city. They're behind the walls, and they're living in fear. You know, there's many times in your life, there's many times in my life, where the challenges and the troubles and the problems of life encompass us. That's my first point. Many times we are encompassed by our problems and our challenges. The word encompass, by the way, simply means to surround. To surround. You know how it is when you know, I was in my brother's house one time out in Indiana. and we sat down, and he took me into his one room, and he says, sit down. He says, you gotta hear this. And he put on I forgot what theme. It was a music from some song or something, I don't know. But it was a battle type theme. And all of a sudden, he had put in this one room surround sound. Surround sound. Now, I'd never been in a room with surround sound. And I think it was the 1812 Overture, you know, with boom, 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 you know. And all of a sudden, man, he started blasting that. And you're just in the middle, and man, it blasts. I've been in a concert one time. I went to a concert one time, and it was one of the neatest musical performances, because all of a sudden we were in it was at a hotel. It was a Holiday Inn. It was a big conference room, huge conference room. But all of a sudden they took all the trumpet players. Now that right there makes it special. All right. They took all the trumpet players, and they had all the trumpet players fan out around the outside of the room and point inward and play this song. And I tell you what, when you get trumpet players all around you in this room, just pointing toward the middle, and you're sitting in the middle of this room, and all of a sudden they start playing, boy, I tell you what, it's one of the greatest sounds you'll ever hear. And but anyways, it has compassed the city. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. It's mentioned in verse 3, verse 4, verse 7, verse 11, verse 14, twice in verse 15, and the eighth time in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. But you know, there's many times, and this is the first thing, there's many times, and a lot of times in our life, where we are encompassed by our problems. And I'm not going to go through, but many times as you go through Joshua and you read the battles, you'll read how Israel was encompassed by their enemy. The enemy would surround them, or they would surround the enemy. You see, it's a tactical thing in warfare. It's strategic. You know, in Psalm 22, when Jesus Christ is on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross of Calvary, twice it says he was encompassed. Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. He says, many bulls, strong bulls, have encircled me. In verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. And it's a battle tactic. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he hung on the cross, he says, you know, there's bulls that have encompassed me. Dogs, vile and wicked dogs, have encompassed me. The Bible says in Psalm 109, or Psalm 17 and verse 9, my deadly enemies who compass me about, and they have now compassed us in our steps. Psalm 18 and verse 4, the sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Psalm 109 and verse 3, they compassed me about with words of hatred. Psalm 118 and verse number 11, they compassed me about. Yea, they compassed me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. the Lord hath helped me. You know, there's a lot of times that, hey, listen, I'm going to be very quick with this point. Because you know this point very well. Because this is the point where most Christians live. Allowing the problems of your life to encircle you and cause you to fear and cause you to tremble and cause you to just cower and cause you to stay inside in the middle of letting your problems surround you and overwhelm you and overflood you. But Psalm 118 says this, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Why? Because the Lord will help me. So number one, hey, listen, it's a reality. The problems, the challenges, the fears, the distress, and all the things of life want to encircle you and surround you to the point where you just cower in fear. And when you cower in fear, boy, there's no victory there. The Bible is to be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Paul says, I was in the mouth of the lion. Tell you what, that looks like sounds like a fearful place to be. He doesn't say I was in the paws of the lion. He says, I was in the mouth of the lion. And he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord helped me. Notwithstanding, the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. And he will deliver me. And he will preserve me. So number one, listen. The problems of this life, they'll seek to encircle you and cause you to fear and tremble and sorrow and cower and just sit down in fear and trembling. But listen, that's not where God wants you to be. So what's the first thing you need to do? Well, you need to see that while your problems compass you about, there's someone else encompassing you about that is far greater than your problems. And that's the Lord. You know, what did God show Joshua in Joshua chapter 5? Go back to Joshua chapter 5. You see, not only we're encompassed about by our problems, but we're encompassed about by someone greater than our problems. Right? You know who that is, by the way. It's the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? He's a king, strong, right? Mighty in battle, right? But look at Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. As captain of the host of the Lord. Not only the captain of your salvation, not only the Lord, but the captain of the host of the Lord. That's important. That's very important. That's the captain of the host of the Lord. That's the captain of the most mighty army in heaven and earth, the Lord's host. Amen? I think we need to start over and wake up. That's the captain of the host of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Listen, I went through the book of Psalms. This week, I just sat down and I read the book of Psalms over and over again. And I went through with one purpose. I went through with one purpose. A lot of times I've gone through the Psalms and I've studied out about prayer. A lot of times I've gone through the Psalms and I've studied out as it stresses and everything. This time I went through the Psalms and I said, I want to see one thing. I want to see one thing. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of my ears, but now mine eye seeth thee. And I said, Lord, I want to see one thing. I want to see who you are. I want to see the captain of the Lord of hosts. I want to see who my captain is. I want to really see who my captain of the Lord of hosts is. Listen, this is what I saw. This is what you can see. Now, I'm not going to give you the references. The reason I'm not going to give you the reference, that's too easy, and you can just jot them down and say, no, You need to get alone. You need to get a cup of coffee, sit on your porch, and start in Psalm 1 and go through Psalm 150. And you need to go through and see who the captain of the Lord of hosts is in your life. Because I don't know which one you need to see this morning. I don't know which aspect of the Lord you need to see this morning. But every aspect, or whatever aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ you need to see, you can see it in the book of Psalms. And you need to just read it until you see, this is the one I need. This is the aspect of the Lord I need. This is what I need to see this morning. This is who I need to see. Because we need to see the captain of the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
We need to see the captain of the Lord of hosts. The captain of the Lord of hosts. Listen, he's my help. He's my deliverer. He's my rock. He's my exceeding joy. He's my king. I get to take a deep breath. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's my helper. He's my defense. And by the way, I got to stop right here. There's a phrase. The greatest defense is the best offense. Amen? He's my defense. Get that. He's my defense. He's my shield. He's my salvation. He's my defense. He's my... Oh, I mentioned that one. And listen, these are mentioned over and over again. He's my strong habitation. He's my fortress. He's my hope. He's my portion. He's my son. Not S-O-N, son, S-U-N. Because you know what? When you're faced with problems, boy, the world gets awful dark, doesn't it? Life gets awful dark. And you know what? Jesus Christ says, I want to be the sun. I want to take that darkness away and give you the light of day. He's my shield. He's my fortress. He's my strength. He's my song. He's my buckler. He's my high tower. He's my stay. He's my shepherd. He's my light. He's my salvation. He's my keeper. He's my goodness. He's my shield. He's my hiding place. And forgive me if I miss some. But he is everything you need. He is all you need. He is the one you need. And you know what? We need to see who he is for our life. Maybe today you need to see he's my song. Maybe today you need to see he's my helper. Maybe today you need to see he's my joy. Maybe today you need to say he's my strength. He's my deliverer. He's my fortress. He's my refuge. I can run to him and hide and be safe. He's my high tower. He's the almighty God. He's eternal God. He is a captain. He is my captain of his host. He's the Lord. But you know, there's two verses. Go to Psalm 34 and verse 7. And this is where it becomes powerful to you and me. Psalm 34 and verse 7. You know, we spoke about how the troubles of this life encompass us. And boy, they do, and they surround us. And the walls seem to start shrinking and gets closer and closer. Psalm 34 and verse 7. Look what it says. Man, check this out. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. You know, I got a bunch of problems surrounding my life. Right? You got a bunch of problems surrounding your life. And if you don't think so, wake up. But you know what? You know what my Bible tells me? You know what my God tells me? You know what my Savior that died on the cross, said it was finished, rose from the grave, went back to heaven and seated on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for me. You know what he says? Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. You know what Jesus is telling me this morning? You know what God's told me all week? Man, you might have some serious problems. But he says, get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes on who I am. And understand this, as great as your problem is, he says, I am camped round about you. I am camped round about you. Wait a minute. And delivereth them that fear him. And delivereth. You know, it brought me over to 2 Kings chapter 6, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 6, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 6. I know you're saying, Pastor, you say that about every story of the Bible.
You're right. 2 Kings chapter 6. And without going into the whole story, but there's just three verses. Verse 15. Well, let's go back. Verse 14 down to verse 17. All right? Check this out. This is what this whole passage, this is what Jericho's all about. This is why he said, pass on, compass the city. Because look what it says in verse number 14. Therefore, that's the king, send he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So the king sends against Elisha a host. And it says this, the host compassed the city. The host compass the city. The host of the enemy compasses the city. Your problems encompass you, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha said this, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Hey, that's the message for you. Fear not. Listen, I don't care how big your problem seems to you. I don't care how big my problem seems to me. God says, fear not. Why? Because they that are with us are more than they that be with them. Right? Did I read that right? I mean, that is in your Bible, right? If it's not in your Bible, I you better get a good one.
That's right.
It's in the Bible. They that are with us are more than they've been with them. And so Elisha says, Lord, please, please open the eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. That's my prayer this morning as your pastor. Lord, open their eyes. I don't know what you're going through, but I've been praying all week. Lord, open the eyes of your church. Open the eyes of your people. Open the eyes of the young people and the older people. Open the eyes of people that are just in fear and trembling because of their problems. Open their eyes, Lord, that they can see you. And God did it. And I'm praying that God will do it in your life. And God opened his eyes. Look what it says. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw. And what did he see? What did he see? Behold. There's that word again, behold. That's the airplane pilot saying, buckle up. Behold. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Do you get that this morning? Do you understand that this morning? Your problems encircle you. And your problems and your challenges are seeking to cause you to quake in fear and bow down to your problems and give up. And the Lord says, No. Don't give up. Don't quit. Fear not. Open up your eyes by faith. Get in the Word of God. Get in your Bible. Spend time in your Bible and see that the captain of the Lord of hosts with his host is encamped about you. Because right there, that's when the tide will begin to shift. Right there, that's when the game changes. Right there. That's when the score is 27-3. Now listen, some of you remember what that's all about. Was it 26-3 or 27-3? Erica, help me out. 28-3. You know, I watched that game over and over and over again. And I text Erica every time. I say, look what I'm watching on TV again. You know why? I like to watch that game because it reminds me of Joshua chapter 6. I like to watch that game because it reminds me. Everybody thought the battle was over. And I don't care what team you think. When everybody thought the battle was lost, all of a sudden, tide shifted. And guess what? Someone else won the battle. Listen, this is why we need to open our eyes to the Word of God. This is why Satan is trying to keep you from reading your Bible. Men, listen to me. Fathers, listen to me. Husbands, listen to me. Get in the Word of God. You can't have victory unless you're in the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. And you need to be more in the Word of God. You need more time in this. And when the devil says there's more pressing things, you get up and you look that devil in the face and you say, no, there ain't. Because unless I'm in this, I got no victory. And we're in a battle today. And men of all people, young men and grown men and husbands and fathers and grandfathers, if we're gonna have the victory in our lives, in our families, in the world, then the men need to be in the Word of God as well as the women. Because faith is the victory. And faith comes through the Word of God. The tide changes when you get in the Word of God. The tide changes. This week, as I've studied this and studied out the passage of Scripture, boy, there's so many times I've just sat and I've said, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Fear not, because God's going to give us the victory. Listen, there is no battle in your life. There is no problem in your life that is greater than the captain of the Lord of hosts. He is the victor. He has won every victory already. We just need to get a hold of faith. By faith, the walls fell down after they compassed the city. And let's go to the third thing. Ye shall compass the city. Ye shall compass the city. Go back to Joshua chapter 6. Verse number 3. And ye shall compass the city. Just listen. Go home and say that 1,000 times over. 100,000 times over. Ye shall compass the city. Lord, help me to get this. Lord, help me to get it in my heart. Help me to get it by faith. Help me to do it, Lord. Because in verse number 7, he said unto people, pass on and compass the city. You see, he doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by our problems. He wants us to look unto him, looking unto Jesus, the author, and the finisher of our faith. Right there is victory. The author and the finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus. But then he says this, ye shall compass the city. Seven times it says, compass the city, compass the city. You know, I just want you to notice something. I want to go through some things in verse 3 down through verse number 7. So you understand about this battle and the greatness of this battle and the greatness of the victory. First of all, it says, you shall compass the city. All you men of war, go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. I'm not going to go in great depth about these, but just think about it. 6 days. Why 6 days? 6 days so that you'll understand that we're talking about a real battle. A battle that affects you in the flesh today. We're not talking about some theoretical thing. We're talking about reality. This is reality. 6 days is speaking about earthly things. It's speaking about reality. The battles in your life, they're real, folks. I know that. I know that in my life. I know that in your life. The challenges we face, they're real. They're real challenges, and they have real potential to cause you to fear. And he says, you compass the city 6 days. But understand this. Look at verse number 4. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Number 2, understand this. It's a holy battle. It's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's physical, it's real, it's in your life. But we need to understand this. It's more than physical. It's more than earthly. It's spiritual, it's holy. It's about the name of Christ and the glory of God. There's more to the battle.
than just the earthly circumstances which you're in right now. By the way, it mentions seven a number of times. Well, in verse number four, it mentions four times. Four times. Four is the number of completeness. Seven is the number of perfection. And you know what it means? It means God's going to give a complete and perfect victory. You know why? Because it's seven priests. It's a holy battle. Bearing seven trumpets. Going around that seventh city seven times. And the seventh day they shout. Number five, it shall come to pass. Verse number five, it shall come to pass. Oh, by the way, listen. Trumpets, 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 trumpets. The trumpet they were blowing on that day was a ram's horn. Now get this. You go back and study this out. And I haven't fully studied this out, but I know this. You go to Numbers, book of Numbers, when they're organizing and they're encamping, he had to make silver trumpets. All throughout the wilderness journeys, they didn't blow ram's horns. They blew silver trumpets. And those silver trumpets were to gather them together. Those silver trumpets were to get them to realize they were going forward. Those silver trumpets were to get them to start on their journey. But when it comes to this trumpet, when it comes to the ram's horn being blown, that's a trumpet of alarm because Jesus Christ is going to battle and he's going to give the victory. That's what that horn's all about. And when this horn was sounded, it was not a pleasant sound. It was a terrible sound. You ever hear someone blowing the ram's horn? You can't make a beautiful sound out of that. I don't care what you think. It is not meant to make a beautiful sound. It is not meant to be a beautiful looking instrument. It is something to be just, it's made out of a ram's horn, which speaks about strength. It's to be blown with a shrillness, with a sound that causes you to stand up and say, what's that all about? It's about this. It's a call to battle. It's a call to battle, and the battle is the Lord's. And he says, you blow that trumpet. And you know why they were silent? You know why they were supposed to be silent? Because they were supposed to be listening to that sound. You see, most of the times in our life, we're not hearing the trumpet of the Lord. We're not hearing the trumpet of the Lord. We are so busy listening to everything else. We're allowing our ears to be so filled with everything else that we're not hearing the Lord blow the trumpet saying, listen, I'm going to battle for you, and I'm going to win the victory. You go down to verse number 5. It came to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Hey, listen, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 11 for a moment. Revelation chapter 11. That shout was a shout of victory. Now, it doesn't say what they shouted, but I'll tell you this. Revelation chapter 11, it tells us what we're going to be shouting. I'll tell you what, this is exciting. Man, this is super exciting. This is amazingly, this is awesome. This is good. Revelation chapter 11. Look what it says. Okay? Seven angels, seven trumpets, six of them sound. Right? Six of them sound. Okay? And then verse 15. Actually, go back to chapter 8, verse number 1. And when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Silence, silence, silence. You know why? He says, listen for the sound of battle. Listen for the trumpet. And then the seven angels stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets. First trumpet blows, second trumpet blows, third trumpet blows, fourth trumpet blows, fifth trumpet blows, sixth trumpet. Come down to chapter 11, verse number 15. And the seventh angel sounded. Seventh angel sounded. Seven high priests blew for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they sounded the trumpet seven times. And there were great voices in heaven. great voices in heaven. Listen, when they blew those trumpets and they blew that trumpet the seventh time, they said, give a shout and those walls are coming down. Give a shout and those walls are coming down. This is the last time trumpets mentioned in the Bible. You know why? Because this trumpet that sounds right here, this seventh time, you know what God's saying? He says, listen, victory is mine right now. It's over, guys. To the devil, he says, it's over. To the world, he says, it's over. And look at the mess. Look at the shout. Look at the shout. Revelation chapter, oh, wait, I lost my place. Revelation chapter 11. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse number 15. There were great voices saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. You know what that is? That's a shout of victory. That's a shout of victory. And from that point on, the battle is over. I mean, the battle is over. You read the rest of the book, and I tell you what, the battle is over. You read Joshua chapter 6, when they sounded those seven trumpets on that seventh day, and that seventh time, and then they shouted, you know why? Because the Lord says, you shout, because right now, I'm giving you the victory. And the walls fell down flat. And what does God say in 1 Corinthians 15? Thanks be to God which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 and verse 4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And Joshua says to the people, ye shall compass the city. Ye shall compass the city. You know, from the jungles of Peru, from that little place called Dingo Maria, from that little place, from the jungles of Peru, I know at least four men that have gotten saved out of that jungle wilderness. And I know four men that right now are pastoring and doing good works for God. One of those men he's about my age and he's in Tingo Maria pastoring, and he's had a lot of battles, but God has given him the victory. Another man is in Lima, Peru, reaching that city, largest city, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another man's in Arequipa, reaching the second largest city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And another man is in the far regions, the far jungles of Peru. You know why? Because God wants us to win the victory. This is the first victory in the promised land. This is the first battle. This is the first victory. And you read through the book of Joshua, and God gave them all the victories. And they encompassed all the land. You know why God wants us to get the victory now? You know why God wants us? Because he wants us to get the victory more and more in our lives. He wants us to get a greater victory. He wants us to look forward to 2024. Where instead of saying, the world is so bad, we say, no, in 2025, we can look back and say, look what God did in Providence, Rhode Island. Look at the souls that were saved. Look at the church that was strengthened. Look at the great work that God did. Because we, by faith, instead of letting the world encompass us, we, by faith, encompass the world. And Jesus Christ said this in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God says, listen, I don't want the church to be sitting in a room quaking in fear. I want the church to go into the world and conquer the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm excited about 2024. You know why? Because I'm going to pray we get fired up about something more than politics in 2024. That's why I want you to pray. Because in 2024, I want us to be fired up about the gospel, not about who's getting to be president. Because really, I could care less about who's going to be the president of the United States. What I care is about my captain and Lord of hosts that wants to win souls and change this world. Amen? Amen? Politics ain't changing nothing, folks. If there's going to be a victory, it's going to be the church of God begins to live by faith, get victory in their own life, so God can lead us to victory in the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, let me close with this. Listen, I don't know where you're at this morning. I know where I'm at. And I tell you what, God has revived me. Boy, I tell you what. Are you overwhelmed this morning? Maybe you're overwhelmed with your problems. Maybe you're compassed about with challenges. My encouragement to you is, hey, don't look around. Job 42 says this, mine eyes now have seen the Lord, but now mine eyes see a thing. 2 Kings chapter 6, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Acts 7 and verse 55, here's my favorite, speaking about Stephen. Stephen, think about this. Stephen, the greatest challenge in his life, the greatest moment, I mean the worst moment in his life, he's surrounded by men that are picking up rocks that they will hurl at his physical body and kill him. And the Bible says he, being full of the Holy Ghost, lifted up his eyes and looked into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Listen, God wants you to lift up your eyes beyond your problems, and he wants you to see him. He wants you to see the captain of the Lord of hosts. He wants you to see the captain of your salvation. He wants you to see the glory of God. He wants you to see Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God. Why? So that you can do what Joshua says when he said unto the people, pass on, compass the city, for God is going to give you a great victory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that your word has just been an encouragement, Lord, for that one that right now is overwhelmed with the problems of life. May they look to thee. May they bow their knees before the God of eternity and the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord of hosts, the captain of our salvation. And may they look to thee and live by faith and encompass the city. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.